All right.
Yeah.
Do I have you, Kano?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. We are being recorded. Welcome to the D&D podcast.
Demented DungeonsandDragons.com.
Yes, where today we're going to start off by shooting down T-Mobile.
T-Mobile has pissed me off.
Yeah. So you're dependent on me having a good signal for the program to work as a result. Go ahead and explain to me, explain again what you just explained to me while I was trying to handle the technical difficulties.
Well, basically, T-Mobile is charging me extra fees to call into my podcast. Any kind of, let's see here, conferencing calls, like free conferencing is no longer free conferencing if you're using T-Mobile. Any chat, phone numbers, any broadcasts, radio, or other similar numbers, it says. So, yeah. I guess unlimited calling is not unlimited calling anymore.
So, you T-Mobile customers, call your local radio station, tell them you'll no longer be calling them. Because T-Mobile made them costly.
Yep.
So, and this podcast, for that matter, made it costly. So, hope you're not T-Mobile user.
Yeah. Here, I'm going to play the recording of the text that they sent me to my email.
Cool.
How does plan phone numbers FAQs? Created by TMO_Marty on October 3rd, 2016, 7:47 a.m. Last modified by TMO_Josh_M on November 22nd, 2016, 11:31 p.m. Find commonly asked questions about phone numbers that don't fall within your plan. Why am I charged $0.01 per minute for calls to conferencing, chat, broadcast, radio, and other similar numbers? T-Mobile has implemented a $0.01 charge per minute for calls to out-of-plan numbers. This charge affects calls to limited number of services like chat lines, conference calls, and radio broadcast lines. This change to our existing calling plans. These calls have always been considered out of plan. These calls tend to cost more for T-Mobile to complete, and this helps us to manage those costs. Conference lines that I use for work charged the $0.01 per minute. Most conference lines provided by employers aren't subject to this charge. If they are, you will hear a message letting you know that there will be an additional charge. You can avoid the charge simply by hanging up. How do I determine if I will be charged the $0.01 per minute? This only affects a limited number of services like chat lines, radio broadcasts, and others that tend to cost more for T-Mobile to complete. Toll-free numbers are not affected. To ensure you always know when you will be charged, we will tell you about the charge when you dial an out-of-plan number. You can avoid the charge simply by hanging up. What if the number I'm calling isn't one of those types of services? To ensure you always know when you will be charged, we will tell you about the charge when you dial an out-of-plan number. You can avoid the charge simply by hanging up. If you have any questions or think there's an error on your T-Mobile bill, you can call our customer service by dialing 611 from your T-Mobile phone, or call 1-877-453-1304 from another phone.
Yeah, please text me that phone number.
You can call and complain.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, it greatly affects our free podcast.
Right.
Like, I'll be strongly recommending that nobody use T-Mobile. Just for that reason. So.
Yeah.
That and other phone problems, I mean, it's like, do a little research. If your phone drops you down to 2G when you've run out of your, you know, bandwidth, you know, it's like my service tomorrow, I'll get 5 gigs of high speed bandwidth, you know, five gigabytes of data for high speed internet. Okay? 4G. 4G LTE, they like to say. And as far as I know, there's only LTE and 4G. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll be glad to research it after I'm told, see what the difference is. But I get 400 kilobytes per second when I'm on 4G. Now, if I'm looking things up right, that's really only about 3G speed. And at, you know, and they're telling me that after I've used that up, I'm supposed to be down to 2G for the rest of the month. And at 2G, if I'm reading things right, regardless of which one of the 2G services that they're using, I'm supposed to get about 100 kilobytes per second. All right? If I'm lucky, I get 7 kilobytes per second, and I'm right underneath one of their antennas.
Right.
I'm lucky if I get 7 kilobytes per second. So, I mean, I'd be ecstatic at 50 kilobytes per second. You know, about 7 or 8 times what I normally get, you know? And I think, I don't know, I have to look it up, but I think dial-up's actually faster than what they're giving me at 2G. I do recall getting a whole lot more done on dial-up than I do on the 2G that they get. Anyway. All right. So we're not going to interview Danielle concerning the... Say what?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Concerning that education thing. And we did have a topic other than complaining about phone companies. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the phone company thing, I'm actually going to start calling around and asking the various services, what is your minimum guaranteed bandwidth on your trickle service? You know, because I really don't care about the high speed end. What I care about is what I got for the rest of the month.
Right.
You know, because golly gee willikers, 5 gigs, that might last me 5 days.
That's because you abuse it.
Yeah, that's what they say. It's because you abuse it. No, I mean, data is, you know, access to data is meant to be access to data, you know. And so, you know, they tried to tell me 1 month. They didn't even give me my bandwidth once. And they tried to tell me, well, it's because you were downloading all this music. So I don't download music. All right. That month, I didn't even get to download any of my podcasts to listen to, which, you know, you can technically classify as music because it's audio, but, you know, I don't stream music. That's what they accused me of. They said, well, you must have been streaming music for the first 12 hours of your service. It's like, the first 12 hours of my service, I didn't even use the phone that day, and my bandwidth was gone. Yeah. Now, I'd give you the name of the service, but, you know, I still need to talk to them and let them know what the crap is. You know, not, yeah, anyway. Complain to the person who's doing the fault first before you start crapping all over them.
So. Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway.
So, yeah.
So,
go ahead. I stepped on you again.
Oh, no, it's fine.
All right.
But Lonely sent me a message.
We have a listener?
No. I said Married But Lonely sent me
a
message.
Oh, her.
After I told her I was not looking for Married But Lonely.
Yeah, that was an OK Cupid one.
Oh, yeah, that's where it was, OK Cupid, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And she contacted you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, wrong message. Crap. Why are people so stupid? Okay.
So basically what you've taught me is I can bring friends in on the podcast that aren't smart enough to dial in the podcast stuff.
Yeah, I sent her a long message, and she said, a simple I'm not interested would have worked. So I said, help, I can't shut up. She said, yeah, I talk too much, I know. But she did, oh, okay, she sent me a message saying, so good luck on your search.
So basically you rubbed the fact that she's married in her face.
Kind of, sort of. Well, I try not to be negative about it, even though I have negative feelings about it.
Oh, I did something horrible the other night. Somebody we know said, shouldn't hang out with crazy people. You know, if you want a harmonious life, don't have crazy people in your life. And I said, well, then I'd have to not be anywhere near you. And he, of course, took it very personally. What I should have said is, well, then I wouldn't have any friends. But, you know, he was the one that said it, so I directed it at him. So, yeah, we suffer foot and mouth disease. So, yeah, I don't know what to do with the young lady I'm talking to, because she's too far away.
Oh, so she's talking to you.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can get my picture up on that date site with the cat on my head.
Did my mom send it to you?
Yeah, she sent me both. One with the cat facing away and one with the cat facing forward. I got to label the pictures so that it, yeah. That is hilarious.
Yeah, she never sent me those pictures.
But it's too fuzzy, so I think the site's going to reject it. So.
Yeah, I'm having trouble transferring my files to my computer from my phone. So I can't take a screenshot of the video unless I do it with my phone.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, this woman, she's a Gemini. I asked her what her birthday is. She says, I'm born in June. Okay. It's June.
It's like, okay, that's helpful. What day in June?
I said, June 1st, question mark. June 2nd, question mark. June 3rd. Question mark.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Obviously, he's probably not going to bring. brain, so I'm not going to talk to her.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, I'm smiling good. That's
cool.
Good.
Okay, so before we get on subject.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about one more thing. You know, we ruffled the feathers of our local gas station owner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we all three love our country, or whatever you want to call it, you know. But you and I recognize that we have problems with our established governments, or whatever you want to call them. And we're trying to actively do something about it. You know, there's other people doing something about it, too, or trying.
Yeah.
But this guy wants to tell us, love it or leave it, he wants to accept the problems because we're the less worst of all the problems in the world.
Well, and one of the things he was pointing out is he actually has his taxes down to 15%. According to him, all of them. I find that hard to believe, but all of them. Now, then again, when I ran my newspaper distribution, I was actually, after my tax preparer got done with everything, I was actually negative.
Right.
Government owed me more than I owed them, and they considered me to be in the poverty level. And, of course, my ex went out and started applying for welfare. We did not need it.
Right.
And I nixed it a lot, and that's probably one of the reasons why my ex left me. It's because she wanted all that extra money so that she could run around and do more playing around and whatever. Honestly, she didn't need it. We didn't need it. As a matter of fact, she probably would have been better off had I been poor, so that she wouldn't have pulled shit like that.
So this guy assumed that because he knows how to do his taxes, he only pays 15%. Everybody only pays 15%.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But, you know, he's thinking, okay, well, he's only paying 15% income tax, or...
Yeah, he's leaving out gas tax and property tax and all that stuff, but he tried to say that he was including all that. I just don't...
But maybe he is including all of that. Of course, he would have to be super detailed in order to calculate all of his fuel taxes. Of course, he knows what the fuel tax is because he has a gas station. But he would have to go through and calculate all of his taxes, everything that he buys. He would have to go and calculate that. Whether he can write that off or not, he'd still have to calculate the tax that he pays.
Yeah.
I'll
ask him flat out, well, okay, what are the taxes on the gasoline that we're paying right here? Because that's the majority of what I pay. That's my biggest tax, me personally. That's the biggest tax I pay, is that fuel.
Right.
Okay, according to this, my photo is too small. It must be 400 by 400 pixels. So didn't even complain about the lack of not being able to see the face. All right. I'll talk to your mom later. But, yeah, he didn't take that into account, apparently. Or if he did, I don't know. But, you know, that's one of the biggest things. Egypt called everybody slaves and charged them 20%. They got their slaves got to take 80% of everything they earned home. They got to feed their kids, buy their PlayStations, you know, whatever, you know. They didn't have PlayStations back then, but you know what I'm talking about, you know. Sit down on the nice comfy couch and watch television or whatever the heck they did back then, all right, you know. So the slaves back then were actually sitting more comfortable than modern day Americans, you know. And he's like, lump it or leave it.
Right.
You know, and, but that's the attitude everybody's taught. They're like, right. Well, I did lump it or leave it. I left it. I'm no longer in the USA. I still have to deal with them, but I'm no longer in it.
Right, you've opted out.
I've opted out. You know? And he wouldn't like hearing that.
Yeah.
You know, I have opted out. But, you know, and I'm exercising my rights. And if you got a problem with me being on your roads, then get your roads the hell out of my right of way. Like, you know? And he's asking me, well, you don't pay taxes? Like, yeah, I pay taxes. I pay for your gas. Taxes in that. I pay for taxes whenever I buy something at the grocery store. You know?
Pay all kinds
Not
of
that
taxes.
I should be paying these taxes, because, you know, non-voluntary taxes is theft.
Right.
I mean, folks, you got to pay your taxes. But that's a big discussion. You got to pay your taxes, but you don't have to pay them to Uncle Sam or Russia or China or the UN. You should be paying them to Jesus. But don't assume that every congregation you go to represents Jesus. Most of them don't. Because Jesus would have you take those funds, would have your minister take those funds and take care of the needy. And instead, they go and build another building with it so that needy people can contribute more money to build another building. Or make the one you got bigger. Or put a stereo system in yours so you can feel extra comfortable when he's echo factoring at you. You know? Mostly people pay your ministers a high salary so that he can spend a week writing a sermon that makes you feel good when you sit in the pew. Hate to break it to you. Church is not to feel good. Church isn't even really about salvation. Church is how you take care of, is how you practice your religion, and religion is not what you feel about it. Religion is what you do about it.
Your religion is your action. Action speaks louder than words.
All right, so if there's an orphan in your neighborhood, who's taking care of the orphan? You say, oh, well, the institutions take care of that. Well, then there's your God. Because that's who's taking care of your orphans for you. That's your God. That's your Savior.
Oh, hell, Uncle Sam.
Your Savior is your God. And your Savior is the one who takes care of your orphans and your needy for you. And if you're not doing it through your church and your neighbors, then your God certainly isn't Yahweh, you know? Because he told you not to do that. He told you not to practice authority in one man over the other. But, oh well. I'm sure I've pissed off a lot of people who are listening, like nobody.
Like nobody. My stalker ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, that'd be funny if she's listening to this. Anyway. All right, let me step down off my soapbox. Next.
Next. Yeah, so basically we need to figure out how to communicate with the ignorant who think that love it or leave it is a viable argument for them, basically.
Well, lump it or leave it is basically what Rome pulled. But there's no place to go. There really isn't. We call this the United States of America. Really, U.S. of A. is a social club that happens to be on this land. All right? You know, there's another social club on this planet called Brazil. Okay? And there's another one called Mexico, and there's another one called France and whatever. Okay? Just because you're on the same land with them doesn't necessarily make you a member of that social club. You know?
Right.
Sorry, I'm going, no, I forgot where I was going with that.
Well, basically, love it or leave it is the pussy way out because they don't want to do what it takes to fix the problem.
Right. Yeah. And this particular social club, USA, is going the same way as Egypt was going back when Moses was there, as Rome was going when Jesus was there, and as Ur was going when Abram was there, right? And all those three people, the big thing they have in common is they were told to get out of the lands of their fathers or whatever, you know, and do things a different way. Stop taking the welfare from people who practice authority and start practicing welfare in a way that maintains your fellow man's liberty. Doesn't make him dependent on you, you know, for his survival, his or her survival, you know. Now, you know, the widows and orphans are kind of an exception because, you know, they aren't going to survive without your welfare, you know. But even them, you're not supposed to turn them over to the state to do it. You're supposed to be the state. Your local congregation, your church, your kirk, you know, you're supposed to go out and do those things. And, you know, the lump it or leave it thing, it's like, you know, well, fine. You know, if you're happy watching America go downhill because this organization called USA is taking it that way, I'm sorry. I'm for my fellow Americans, all right? I vote for my neighbor. I don't vote for the Clintons or dang, I forgot his name. Loudmouth, who made it?
Trump!
You know, I don't vote for Trump. I don't vote for Bill or Hillary. I don't vote for the Bushes, you know, either the megalomaniac or the idiot. you know, those people are just a symptom of the problem. Problem is people aren't voting for their neighbor.
Right.
They're not going and finding out what their neighbor needs. They're not telling their neighbor what they need. They rather, ooh, it's noisy over there. Let's call the police. Like, well, you're supposed to be the police.
Yep.
You know, and it's supposed to be along the lines of you're supposed to be actually the peacekeeper. You're supposed to be a peace officer. Every single one of you are supposed to be a peace officer, not a policy keeper. You know.
Oh, wow. I've got... I got a text from Jerry. Jerry's mad because I texted him what the current temperature in the place was, blah, blah, blah. It needs to be kept above 60 degrees, and he thinks it's good enough if it's above freezing.
Stupid is what stupid does.
Anyway. I should probably send him a text saying, shall I forward this to Bill?
Yeah.
You know, is this your resignation? Anyway, he didn't see the fact that I had forwarded the message twice, because if I send it to Bill, then I forward it to Shirley, and then from the one I forwarded to Shirley, I forwarded it to him. So I said, forward, forward. It's 50 degrees in the greenhouse. Yeah. I don't know. That's another story.
Yeah.
But that's me trying to take care of widows and orphans, actually. All right. All right. So that's a half an hour of us being negative minis.
Negative mini.
All right. So what's the positive way to handle that situation? How do you speak to people in such a way that they take an interest in doing their duties? Because, to be honest, Uncle Sam does not want you to do your duties. State of Missouri does not want you to do your duties.
In fact, they punish you if you do.
Sometimes. Cedar County does not want you to fulfill your duties. All right? Because if you do those things that you're supposed to be doing, the Fed has no job. The state has no job. The county has no job.
Job.
If you're doing, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, all right, now, you know, for the most part, they leave the Amish alone because, you know, from what I understand, I haven't been able to verify this. I haven't gone out of my way to try. But from what I understand, Obamacare does not affect the Amish. They do not have to contribute because they generally do not go to hospitals. And when they do, they pay cash.
Right.
They don't have to contribute to the welfare state either because they pretty much take care of their own welfare.
So we need to figure out what they're doing right and copycat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and, you know, find out what groups like that are doing correctly and emulate that. You got to go a step further because they really don't do much outreach from what I've seen.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, that could be... Go ahead. I didn't hear what you're saying.
I said they pretty much stick to their own.
Yeah, and see, that's not Christ-like either. All right? You're supposed to cast your bread on the waters.
Even if you're casting it upon heathen water?
Well, that's basically what it means. It's like, not all of it, but, you know, it's like, you know, you go out and feed the ducks, sometimes the duck follows you home. Okay? So,
or you, sometimes the fish get it, or the turtles get it.
Whatever, but, you know, sometimes it comes back to you. What you cast out on the water comes back to you, and you find another Christian. All right? And you'll be surprised sometimes. Because sometimes that Christian is calling out to Buddha.
Buddha, 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 Buddha.
Or he or she is calling out to Allah. All right? And...
Or Krishna.
Or Krishna. All right? So you've got a person who's following Christ's instruction. They're written, those instructions are written on that person's heart. All right? And they're doing it. And I got to tell you, that person, if they'd never cracked open the Bible, is going to make it to heaven long before a lot of people who call themselves Christians will.
Right.
You know? I think there's even scriptures that go somewhere along the line that the tax collectors and publicans are going to make it to heaven before you will. Because you're not fulfilling the law. At least the tax collectors and publicans are fulfilling the law. They're taking care of the orphans. All right? They're doing it wrong. They're doing it by, you know, by force, fear, and violence instead of faith, hope, and charity. But they're doing it. You know, so what are you doing?
I'm sitting on my ass watching the Green Bay Packers beat up the...
Dang, I don't know another team's name.
So whose name?
All I can think of is Green Bay Packers. I can't think of another name.
The Chiefs, the Redskins.
Okay, yeah, something like that. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know. So, okay, that tells you two things about me. I don't follow politics too closely, only when it gets shoved down my throat. And I don't watch sports. Oh, my God, why are we listening to him? He's an American. I can't win.
Me neither. So, the topic of the day.
Yay.
Yay. What to do and how to talk to the police when they pull you over.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go? Let's see now. Let me see if I can.
Oh, yeah. Let's start with the one up in, whatchamacallit?
Warrensburg?
Yeah,
Warrensburg?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a horrible example. That's not the way to do it. It worked, but it was not the way to do it.
Well, that's what this is about. What to do and what not to do.
First off, you're not there to educate them.
Maybe.
Well, not really. You're really not there to educate them. I mean, it's like...
Okay, maybe not educate them, but make them think about what they're doing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, the last one is like, to increase the size of costs and send the reach and power of the New World Order. New World Order? What's that? That's the first time I heard that. Work for them.
He asked me for my license, and I told him that it didn't. I said I don't have one, but I have this. It's not mine, but it was issued to me by the New World Order. He goes, New World Order? That's a first. I never heard of that one before. I said, you never heard of the New World Order? He goes, no. I said, well, you work for them.
Yeah.
He didn't know what to say to that. But that may or may not have been the right thing to say, but, you know, after the fact, and I can't move the audio, we recorded part of the conversation. I forgot to record the first part because I was frustrated that we were even getting pulled over in the first place.
Yeah, you were like, oh, shit. Yeah. Well, the one in Warrensburg, they were tailgating so close that neither one of us could see that there was anybody behind your truck or the trailer that we were pulling, for that matter. Was it trailer or was it my camper? I forget. I think it was one of the last trips. We were pulling my stuff on a trailer, so it was loaded up. Right. Couldn't even see the trailer. You know, who was behind the trailer. Couldn't see bright headlights shining under the trailer, casting shadows in front of the truck. The only way you really knew there was anybody behind you.
Right.
And so you swerved to see what it was. And they, of course, woo!
Right. Pulled me over because I was left to center. And I did a left to center to see who was trying to see who or what was tailgating me.
Yeah. Yep. Now, technically you might not have done a left to center, but I bet you had you tapped on the brakes and they rear-ended us, that would have just made their day. Because there would have been so much paperwork, and, you know, in Missouri, it's, the person who rear-ends is at fault, et cetera, et cetera. And they had to be so close that their headlights were practically touching the trailer.
Right.
All right. But anyway, that said, came around, and they were questioning you, and they started questioning me. And, you know, it's like, you know, folks, I don't have a first, middle, or last name. I don't think you do either. All right? You know, at least my current understanding of the legal definition of those terms, I don't have those things. I have a given name. My family has a name. And, you know, which family? Because, you know, my mom was a member of the Jensen family, so I'm a member of the Jensen family through her. My father started out as a member of the Howard family, but for whatever reasons, my grandmother got remarried and joined the Harriet family, and so my father became a member of the Harriet family. All right? So there's three family names for you right there. I'm a member of all three of those families. In my life, I eventually found a young woman who seemed appropriate, and I joined her family. All right? And through her, the Solomon family welcomed me in. Now, since we've divided, so the Solomon family probably no longer accepts me, but for a while I was a member of the Solomon family. So you'd say, well, your family name is your last name, so which one of my quote-unquote last names do you want me to give you? All right?
Right.
I'm a member of a multitude of families. All right? I'm probably a member of families I have no idea where they came from because, quite frankly, you know, there's a lot of people who entered the Jensen family who probably did so from other families. You know? And on and off into the distance. You know? So. Anyway.
So. When a cop pulls you over and asks you for your identification, or how does it go? Let me see your papers. What does he ask? Oh, license and registration.
Apples, oranges, and bananas.
Apples, oranges, and bananas. What does that mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. Typically, when they walk up, they don't ask you. They just say license, registration, insurance, and, you know, they just name off this list of things. All right. No specific question, all right? And so one of the responses I've learned to say to that is apples, oranges, and bananas.
Apples, oranges, and bananas.
Yeah, because they didn't ask a question. So it's like they're playing a game, all right? Now,
okay.
Yeah, everybody knows that they're asking for your license, registration, and insurance, all right? Why are you even getting licensed in the first place? All right. Now, I'm not saying I don't have a license. I went and applied for one, but when I signed for it, I signed under duress, all rights reserved, because I know full well that these people who pull us over, they've been known to beat the crap out of people and to shoot them, and sometimes both.
Right.
All right. So, down in Warrensburg, they asked me for my first name. So, I have a given name. Well, what's your given name? David Ray. Okay. What's your last name? I don't have a last name. Everybody has a last name. You're lying to us. Get out of the car. All right. Well, they have not been educated in law, and yet they're supposed to be law enforcement officers. And they give them a gun.
And they give them a gun.
These are low-paid, uneducated, and often ignorant people. Because most police officers are not allowed to have an IQ over 100. 100 being average IQ. Sadly, average IQ is much lower than it used to be.
Right.
So, you're talking about people that we would call retards about 50 years ago are now issued guns and told to enforce law. And then they're not told what the law is. And most of them will say to you, I'm just doing my job. Okay. So, this sheriff had me get out of the car and proceed to question me. About a half an hour, wasn't it?
Something like that.
All right. And I sat behind the car and I proceeded to educate him, which you're not really supposed to do.
Right.
Okay. And in the process, they exposed themselves to danger or potentially were baiting me so they would have an excuse to shoot me, because the one who called me a liar, you know, he stood so close to me that his gun was almost touching my hand. My hand was literally closer to his gun than his hand was. All right? And I basically told him, listen, the only reason you got me out of the car is because you're threatening me. How's that? Well, that gun you have next to my hand, for one thing. You know,
You have the potential to kill me for no apparent reason. So, yeah, of course I'm scared and I'm following what you say. I'm under duress. You're threatening me. You know? And, you know, they found out that I'll work for charity and for basically what you call love offerings and stuff like that. They couldn't believe that I'd come down and fix their toilet. Well, who would do that? Who in their right mind would do that? Well, anybody who loves Christ. Anybody who really loves Christ. You know? And even if you don't know Christ by his name, you know, basically it boils down, the name of Christ is your actions. You know, those who do the appropriate actions are calling on Christ. Those who, you know, and fulfill Christ's will. If you're doing something in somebody's name, you can only do it in their name if you're doing what they would ask of you to do. So Christians who go off to Arab countries to kill Arabs because they're just stupid and Arabs and claim that they're doing it to in the name of Christ and to protect the American way, well, no, you're not doing that in Christ's name. You're using Christ's name, but you're not doing it in Christ's name.
Right.
Anyway, so that's sideline. Yeah, so basically there I was and you were having fun. What were they asking you while they're trying to worm out of me a last name?
Well, I was sitting up there laughing most of the time. But I could hear part of the conversation, but couldn't hear it all. And basically, one of the times that the officer came up to me, because he came up to me already like twice or something. He asked me for my identification, and I gave it to him. But you didn't have any, or you didn't present it, one of the two. And didn't give them the standard response that they were expecting. And so anyway, they eventually came up to the window again. I was driving, so they came up to the driver's side. Or the one officer did, while the other one stayed with you. And I was trying not to laugh. I told him, I said, yeah, I knew you'd be back. And he asked me a series of questions about you. Asked me what your last name was or what the deal was or something. And I said something about the fact that it was part of your religion. He goes, what kind of religion is that? I've studied all kinds of religions, and I've never heard of a religion like that. It's like, oh, I don't know. It's his thing. I don't know much about it. And then I gave him the proper way to ask you for the information that he was seeking.
Ah. Okay. So that's what got us down the road. Did he ask me for my family name?
Yeah. So basically that's what he ultimately did. He asked you for your family name.
Right.
And, you know, and I gave him the proper instructions on how to ask you correctly what it is that he was seeking.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I spent a half an hour trying to educate them, namely about the fact that they were using violence and such, you know, in order to achieve their goals. And, you know, that was under duress. In no way, shape, or form was I consenting to any of that.
Correct.
You know. And, you know, it's just simple. You just tell them, I do not consent to this. All right. So it's, you know, it's on record that you're under duress. You know, that their activity is unlawful. But you don't have to really educate them on it. That, you know, it's like, you just tell them the facts. That's all you have to do, is just tell them the facts. All right. So, I think
like, I don't know how long it was before this happened, but I got pulled over by the last major time I got pulled over was by a state trooper. I got pulled over one other time, but that one was kind of actually good because I was lost, and he helped me. Didn't give me any trouble. But the time before that, this guy pulls me over, right? And, you know, I really didn't feel like going through the whole rigmarole, but I think I sat there for about an hour while he went back and forth and back and forth about four or five times. I ended up giving him my family name and my name right off because I didn't want to stay there all night. All right. And he said, okay, just a second, went back and checked on that and was coming back, and he was going to say something else to me. But before he could even get a word out of his mouth, I said, well, am I under arrest? No. Am I free to go? No, just a second. All right. So I went through that about four or five times, and it took him about 15 minutes each time. So about an hour later, I'm leaving. Because, you know, the last time I asked him that, I was like, just go.
So he never asked you for, or he never got any identification out of you?
No, he was able to look me up, though, because I gave him family name. You know, they consider that a last name, and, you know, legally they don't, but the police officers don't know. All right? And probably, frankly, don't care. And their bosses don't care. All right? You know, they figure once you're listed in their system, you know, you're listed in their system, and it's, you know, it doesn't matter what you've done otherwise. You know, it's not like anybody's going to slap them on the back of the, you know, grab them by the cape of the neck and say, hey, you're misbehaving. Nobody can do it. So it doesn't really matter what you do. Nobody's going to punish them for misbehaving. Nobody. All right? You know, to be honest, even if it was in my power, I don't think I would. I'd tell them to leave me alone, you know, but you know, when you got pulled over for the taillight, that's a good thing. If they issued a ticket because you didn't have a taillight in, that's a crime.
Right. Well, yeah, and that, and also interrogating us because we had a taillight out.
Yeah, informing you that you had a taillight out, hey, that was good. All right, so this is the last time. All right, this last time you get pulled over, and I forget what all he said to you, but his partner came up and tapped on my window. And I was going through our shopping list and what all we needed to do because, you know, hey, time is money.
Right.
And we had things to do, and while we were sitting there, I might as well go through the list, all right? And in between him talking to you, I was asking you questions, and this guy comes up and taps on my window, and I just glance at him and go back to what I was doing.
How many times did he knock on the window before he went back to the car?
He went back to the car right after he tapped on it the first time, and I ignored him. But he had his hand on the holster all that time.
Oh, right? That's right. And then you looked at the other officer and said something about this officer being paranoid. Why does he have his hand on his gun like he's paranoid?
Yeah, why is this officer so, you know, whatever? You know, and when the other officer went back, I think he went back also. And then he waited a little bit before he came up and tapped on the window. And he came and tapped again, and I looked at him, and he was indicating to open the door, and I indicated for him to come around to the window that was open, namely yours. you know.
Two windows open at the same time.
Yeah. The door wasn't locked, so he could have opened it up. Quite frankly, you should lock all your doors. You really shouldn't open your windows more than the crack because, you know, they'll claim, oh, I smell marijuana. Everybody out of the car, we're going to search it. And they'll find some. They'll find something if they want to.
Of course.
You know.
So I came around to the other side.
Yeah. So he came around to the other side, and I forget what all he asked me, but...
Well, I basically had my window rolled all the way down, and he asked you if you had identification.
Yeah, no, I'm not using it. Why would I have it with me? I'm not using it.
And then you asked him if he had identification.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yes. Can I see it? No. And he left.
And he didn't come back.
He did not come back. He didn't even come back when his partner came back.
Right. He just stayed in the car.
He's like, whoa. Holy shit. I'm in trouble. This guy knows something.
Yeah, apparently the other guy was a rookie, too, because he didn't know how to act or react.
I think the other guy was more experienced. He just hadn't run into anything like that. It was like chance, you know, when your truck stalled out on me in Eldo, and Chance had to fill out paperwork, and he was asking me, you know, what's your name? What's your last name? What's this, that, and the other? And it's like, you know, and then you finally show up, and Chance was like, oh, good, somebody who I can actually get some stuff from. And it's like, he wasn't even filling out a criminal report or anything. He was just doing paperwork that his boss requires of him. There is no legal reason for anybody to give a name for any reason.
Right.
All right? And that should not have been a problem for him, but they put him in a bind if he fails to get that stuff.
Right. So his job's on the line.
Yeah.
To collect the, you know, illegal information or unlawful information that he's trying to collect.
I'm not anti-cop. I'm anti-lazy bastard who sits on his couch and won't be a peace officer also.
Right.
Doesn't care about his neighbor. All right. And don't get me wrong. I was one of those. Thank goodness my neighbor across the street knocked on my door and got me to come out of the house. I didn't know any of my neighbors. I knew that my noisy neighbor across the street, I didn't know why he was noisy, but, you know, I knew he was a loudmouth and whatever, all right? And he'd say hi to me every once in a while, but at some point he came knocking on my door and wanted me to come over and help him with something, and so I came over, and I think it was just an excuse to get me out of the house. It worked, and I thank him for it. Mr. McKenzie, if ever you listen to this, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're probably one of the beginnings of opening my eyes. You got to get to know your neighbors, and you got to care about them. And if you don't care about them, well, get the hell out of that neighborhood and move to a new one. Find people you care about and live with them.
Right.
You know? Quite frankly, all of you should go out and buy some farmland and have it passed down through your family. And the people you should really be getting to know is your great-grandma, your great-grandpa, your grandma, your grandpa, you know, all the different lines going up. Everybody who's still alive, you should all be living pretty close to each other and only every once in a while splitting off and forming new groups. But even then, you should go out and check out each other, all right? And not just families, but, you know, also get to know your neighbors and care about them, you know. We talk about, you know, shoot. Basically, the problem with Uncle Sam is Uncle Sam is replacing the father in the family. All right? And it's not entirely Uncle Sam's fault. It's the father's fault. It's the mother's fault. Because they send their kids off to public school, which Uncle Sam provided. Because you're not educating your children. So he is doing it.
Right.
And so he is being the father. He's replacing the father. That's the father's job. That's the mother's job. And you're letting somebody else do it, and so you lose your kids.
Yep.
You know? And you go out and get loans to pay for a house that ain't worth it. Instead of building the house with your own two hands. But you don't have time to build your house with your own two hands because you're too busy paying off all those debts you acquired.
Right. Paying tribute to the almighty Uncle Sam.
Well, or the Federal Reserve, or Bank of America, or, you know, Wells Fargo. You know, all those
right institutes.
And you say, well, we can't get by without a bank loan. Couldn't buy a house. Like, well, the reason why you can't get by without a bank loan is because your parents before you did it the easy way and went out and got a bank loan, and the ones before that did it the easy way. You know, when they first started doing bank loans, a 3-year mortgage was insane. It's like, oh, my God, how are you going to live? You got to pay that off in 3 years. It's like, you know, that's going to have to take a big chunk out of your life. Well, now they've actually got loans. They're lifetime loans. They will never be paid off. You just keep making the same payment for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. A 30-year mortgage is, you know.
Well, no, not even that.
Oh, I know, but I mean, people don't even think twice. They actually want a 30-year mortgage.
Yeah, they go for a 30-year mortgage, and then they upped it to 50, and then the latest thing I heard is a lifetime mortgage. A lifetime mortgage where when you die, the property goes to the bank.
Well, yeah, you're basically only paying the interest. You're not paying anything else.
Yeah. And you sign the paper agreeing to that.
Right. You'll never own it. It's like paying rent, basically.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And for those of you who recognize that insurance is a scam, well, if you don't own the property outright, the reason why you have to pay for insurance in the first place is because the bank is part owner in the first place, you know? So, I mean, that's an additional charge on your mortgage, you know? Quite frankly, tell the mortgage company, go buy your own damn insurance and write it off with Uncle Sam. But better yet, get your extended families back together. You have to start with yourself, all right? Start with you, your wife, and your children, and encourage them to stay near you when they start forming their own families. So you're there and available to help them. And do your darndest to give your children a leg up so they don't have to go into debt to buy their first house. You know?
Right.
You know, the Amish do this. They basically take all the income from their children that their children earn, and they take from that money to buy their children a farm and a house or get a house built. And so when they get married, it's like, boom, debt free in a home, in a farm, and having the skills to know how to use them. All right? So, you know, they get out of there, they know how to grow food and raise animals, and they're ready to go. They don't do that nowadays. They send them off to college where they learn how to not know anything. You know, not anything important. They don't know how to handle money. They don't know how to invest in land. They don't know how to stay out of debt. anything, they get to college, and the first thing that happens is all, you know, Visa, MasterCard, and everything like that has a booth and says, here, have some quick money.
Oh, yeah.
Interest rate of 120% per annum, but, you know. But it's quick. Buy your Nintendo set now.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And yes, I like Nintendo. Don't play it now. I don't have any electricity, but, you know, I'm starting from scratch. Because basically everything I thought in life was wrong, and I've had to start over, and I've been, about 10 years now, starting over.
Right. Unfortunately, we didn't teach our kids right.
Do what?
I said, and unfortunately, us and our exes didn't teach our kids right, so they're going to be following in the same footsteps.
Yes. Yep. And that's why I'm kind of hopeful about this one young lady who's too far away that I'm talking to, because she's a gardener, and she likes nature. And I don't know how long she'd put up with living the way I'm living before I finally get a house built by hand. But if I build a house, it's going to be debt-free. You know, if we start making any money on this farm whatsoever, if I get a cut of it, personally, I want to put it to paying down that dang mortgage that you have. I'd like to see the mortgage paid off in 2 years instead of, what is it, 15? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pipe dream. Say what?
Said, unfortunately, once I get them paying child support, I'm going to go to a bank and refinance so I can get away from Benco.
Yeah, well, thank you, Benco, but yeah, Benco's a bit flaky.
Flaky? Yeah, that's putting it lightly.
We need to do what Benco's doing, though.
Yeah, except be more honest and reliable.
Yes. Provide the service that they're providing, but be honest about it. You know?
Right.
I've heard the Benco story. Basically, they got ripped off because their land was taken away from them over this, that, or the other, and so they said, never again. And so they opened
right.
up their own thing.
But that doesn't mean they need to screw other people over just because they got screwed over.
Yeah, I'm not so much how much of that they're doing on purpose and how much of that's because they're just not good bookkeepers.
Yeah. They just don't know how to do bookkeeping.
And record keeping.
Record keeping.
Because they told you didn't make that one payment, and yes, indeed, they never cashed that check. But they acknowledged receiving it, even though later on they denied ever having received it.
Correct. Yeah. They sent me a piece of paper in the mail acknowledging that they received my payment.
Yeah.
And later said, oh, we never received it. But they never cashed it either.
You need to keep an eye out for that, though. Because even if you put a stop payment on that check, if they wait long enough, the stop payment will go away, and they may try to cash that check.
Yeah. Wow.
And you need to pursue them if they do.
Oh, yeah. I'll be keeping an eye on the account for sure.
Because that'd be a fraudulent action.
Yep. Yeah, and then, last year they accused me of not even making my down payment on the property.
Yeah, and they canceled out the contract as a result. I had to reinstate it very quickly. they're like, get off the land because you failed to make your down payment.
Yeah.
Excuse me? You know, so once a year, that's a bit much.
Pretty much, yep.
I've heard good things about them, though.
You what?
I've heard good things about him. Like a guy who ended up going to jail, and when he got out, the piece of land that he had been working on, you know, purchasing was still available, and they allowed him just to continue payments.
Right.
You
that
know?
Was one of the things that made us decide to do business with them.
Yeah. So I don't think their hearts are in the wrong place. I just think that they're just not very good at their job.
Okay. So their hearts
I could be wrong, but, you know, they're grossly incompetent at their job.
So their heart's in the right place, just their brain is not in the right place.
Yeah, yeah. Which could be the problem with the guy who runs MFA in the area. You know?
Yeah, I don't think his heart's in the right place, nor his brain.
Yeah. All I know is you and I are not the only unhappy customers there.
Right.
You know, and I don't think it serves my fellow man to continue to do business with him because, you know, he's just, yeah. He's not being a good Levite. You know, that's not his role, but, you know, he's just not being a good Levite. So he doesn't need my money. He's not providing the service that he provides in a good way.
Yeah, right. He basically tries to sell you something you don't need.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like it might just be that he's opinionated and thinks it's the same thing, but...
Well,
yeah,
no,
the case with the fencing, his employees said, yeah, he does that kind of stuff all the time.
He doesn't think it's the same thing, because when you correct him, he says, well, that's what you told me. And you're like, no, that's not what I told you. I told you this.
He's just dense. I don't know.
One
way or another, he's dense.
Something like that.
Either he's an asshole on purpose and he's dense because of that, or he's just dense and, you know.
Right. Because I told him exactly what I needed, and he sold me what I didn't need. And I came back and told him, this is not what I need. Well, that's what you said you needed. I was like, no, I need this. And then he turns around and sells me something different. And then when I come back in, he said, no, this is not what I need. He says, well, that's what you said you needed. I'm like, what? Just like he did with that one guy.
Yeah, with the insecticide or whatever it was.
Right. He said,
like, yeah, we got that.
Yeah, we got that. The ingredients are identical. And then he said, well, let me read the ingredients. He read the ingredients.
And he came storming out with nothing, and he was pissed.
Yeah, he was pissed. He left, and he didn't buy anything because the guy lied to him.
Yeah.
Just like he
lied. But apparently he knew this guy well enough to ask to see it.
Right.
So.
See, I won't do business there again. Not unless I absolutely have to. And then, like you said, like that other guy, I'll be... double, triple checking to make sure he doesn't try to screw me over.
Yep. So I have a Westworld spoiler.
A what? Oh, a what?
A Westworld spoiler. I watched Future World from 1976 this morning, which is the sequel to the 1973, 74-ish Westworld, the original, you know.
The
original Westworld, right? The sequel, Delos had replaced 99% of their employees with robots and hadn't told anybody.
Okay.
All right.
So the robots take care of the robots.
Yeah, pretty much all of upper management was robots. And they were beginning to invite people back to Westworld, Future World, Roman world, you know, they had all these different whatevers. Anyway, and what they were doing is they were inviting bigwigs, you know, leaders and generals and stuff like that to visit and replacing them with robots, sending them out into the real world.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. So that's kind of a spoiler for the current Westworld, of which the last episode of this season is showing tonight. And I look forward to watching that sometime around Wednesday-ish. But, yeah, makes you wonder if maybe that's, you know, what's going on with that. Still haven't found any reference to Dolores or Maeve or Arnold in the original. But I'm working on acquiring a TV series called Beyond Westworld, of which I believe there was 5 episodes released. And I'm curious how they continued the story. Anyway. So I'm sure the people who made the modern Westworld, which is based on the earlier Westworld, probably reviewed all the stuff I'm looking at. And I think I found reference to a book called Westworld by Michael Crichton. Is that how you pronounce his name? C-H-I-R-T-O-N, I think. Crichton? Churton? Something like that. I'll have to look it up again. But I haven't been able to acquire a copy of the book. I would like to, you know, get an audio of it, if possible. Otherwise, you know, paper, if nothing else, just so I can see where that story goes. Because, you know, TV series and movies often do not faithfully follow the storyline of a book. Anyway, yeah, just a little spoiler there. So in Westworld, they were replacing the world leaders with robots. So I'm wondering if they're doing the same thing in the modern version. So anyway. All right. Where were we before I interrupted with this non sequitur?
Protocol? Yeah.
So how properly to deal with them?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, not complying is likely to get the crap beat out of you and et cetera, et cetera.
You comply without consenting.
Yeah, you comply without consent. You know, you tell flat out, listen, I'm not going to fight with you or argue with you. I don't consent to any of this. You know, but here's the stuff that you're asking for. Or as one gentleman does, he'll lay it out on the dash, and he'll say, I don't know what you're talking about, but if you feel that it's, you know, if you see what you think you need and you feel that it's all right to trespass on my property, you know, whatever, I'm not going to stop you. You are trespassing. You know.
How does that work?
Seems to work well for that gentleman. It seems
yep.
to me that they'd reach over and grab the driver license and say whatever. You know, I'm pretty sure they just go whatever, right? You know, and it's, you know, and if they force you to sign something, I'm to the point where I won't even attach my name to it anymore. The driver's license, I'll admit, you know, I put under duress, David Ray, all rights reserved. in the future, I'm inclined to put under duress all rights reserved.
That's what I'm thinking about doing.
All right. And, well, you were there when we talked to one of my friends who doesn't think we have any rights. And I think he's right. But there are rights that we should preserve, namely God's rights. You know? I've been trying to think how to word it. I think all rights reserved covers that. You know, I reserve all of God's rights.
Well,
anything in here that violates God's rights, I can't obey it.
Well, I guess that concept is contingent on which deity you subscribe to.
Well, first off, I don't recognize their deity, so if they want to argue about it, they'll have to demonstrate to me that they have a deity that they're referring to. They, when cornered, don't generally admit it.
Right. Well, and the friend who proposed the argument in question assumes that we are slaves
of God. Yeah.
And
he didn't really propose it. It's just the logical conclusion I came to based on that argument.
That's what he said.
Well, yeah, he said his statement was, if we're called to die, if God calls on us to die, we die. If we are called on to live, we live. If we're called on to fight, we fight. You know, we obey God. All right? And that we don't have any rights. Well, I agree with him. Go ahead.
So we have no free will. We just think we do.
Well, we have the free will to either obey or not obey.
Well, not really, because if we don't obey, we're being punished.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm not sure I believe in that particular God. But, you know, because if God's all-powerful and all-knowing and he really loves all of his creation, then why did he create it in such a way that some of it's going to go to hell and be punished for all eternity for what he did? So I don't really believe in that God, all right? I mean, if there's some entity out there that was instrumental in our creation and that's its opinion on things, well, it can go to hell. It can go to hell, whatever it is, you know, because it's not ultimately my God.
Right.
It may have helped form the protoplasm that created me, but it's less than my God, and it can go to hell. But I'm sure even my God would love it and would eventually correct it and show it the truth and save it as well, whatever, you know, whatever that in-between thing is.
That in-between thing.
Yeah.
Purgatory.
Yeah, well, that might be what this is. I mean, I often refer to this world as being hell because we're separated from God. I can't think of anything more hellish. All right? Probably purely our choice. We're probably up in heaven with God and said, hey, yeah, that looks like it might be fun. Let's try it.
Right.
And here we are suffering hell because we chose to do this thing. And, you know, when we finally die and are back in eternity, it's like, whoa. All right, let's bungee jump again. You know.
Yeah, I think the overall minor thrills that life has to offer, it's not worth the pain and suffering that most of us endure.
Yeah, but then again, it might be we're just a bunch of babies crying over not having our lollipop. And that's why God doesn't really intervene at every second.
Lollipop, lollipop, ooh, lolly, lolly, lolly.
You know, I've seen mothers who fret because their baby's crying because it doesn't have its pacifier or its lollipop or whatever. And they can't bear to let their children suffer. But the truth is they're causing their child to suffer by caring for it to such a degree. You know, and so, you know, maybe that's what we're dealing with, you know. So what if she was raped and murdered and whatever? It was just a figment of her imagination in the first place. This reality is just an illusion.
How dare you say such a thing?
And so she ended up back home where she could see that, and she's in comfort, you know? You know, while we're here, we have to treat such things as serious, but the truth is they might not be so serious. You know? I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people terribly surprised to find, in my opinion, one of the most evil people on the planet, Hitler, up there in heaven, having a cheerful conversation with Christ and half a billion Jews that he sent to their early death. You know? I don't know what to say. You know? So while we're here, we should practice what we know.
Right. I think purgatory is called reincarnation.
Yeah. And, well, you know my theory on that. You know.
Right. We go to heaven, and we come back and play the game again.
The difference between here and heaven is one moment and one location. And that's, you know, basically you see all of reality in one shot. Here we take reality and we divide it up into little teeny tiny frames and little teeny tiny locations, and we're only looking at a fragment of reality, both time-wise and location-wise. And so we don't see the whole.
Let me see your papers.
Let me see your papers.
Hi, Hitler!
You know, if ever they say that to me, I might hand them a Bible.
Oh, there you go.
Let me see your papers. Here's my identification. You know what? A couple of friends of mine. They went for holy matrimony instead of a state-sanctioned marriage.
Yes, I tried that with my last wife. Didn't work.
Well, that's because we're surrounded by a bunch of heathens, and she didn't take it seriously, apparently. Right?
Right.
But they recorded their marriage in a family Bible, and they had witnesses, and they even went out of their way because the person who took their vows the first time did it rush, and didn't give them a chance to exchange vows. They had a reception recently. And I missed it, but they exchanged their vows before witnesses. People in this community, people they know personally, witnessed their commitment. So
right.
Let me ask, did you do that?
No, we did not do that.
All right, there you go. So it would have put a little bit more emphasis on how serious it was had you gone that far. And while I don't agree with the religious views of a lot of the people in this area, I know that their hearts are close enough to the right place that, yeah, I would go and invite a whole bunch of people to come and witness my marriage. If anything, it might help wake them up. I might even seek out that sheriff's deputy that arrested me over on PNS.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get married again.
I hope to.
I'm just going to be Kano, the male gigolo.
Oh, you made me see Chance dipping his head again, going, oh, shit.
Yeah, we never did finish that conversation. So, basically, yeah, he was asking you for all your information, last name, birthday. I don't have one. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, the pickup truck was broke down. So I was coming with the big truck, Bobtail, to jump start the pickup truck. So I pull up, and he, like you said, he sees somebody else. Go, ah, maybe I can get some information out of this guy.
Yeah, there's so much relief on his face when he saw you coming up when I said you were the owner of the vehicle.
Right.
He was so relieved. You know.
So relieved. And then I show up, and he asked me for my information, and he asked me for my name. I say, Kano. And he starts to write it down, and I say, the Mel Gigolo. And he's like, oh, crap.
To be honest, I think you had a preliminary conversation with him. Has he been giving you a hard time? And he was like, yeah. I hadn't been giving him a hard time, but, you know, it's like, but, you know, he perceived it as a hard time.
Yeah.
And then you did that. So he's like, oh, shit.
I was making light of the whole situation.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Chance is all right. You know, he was just doing his job. But he cares about his community. And that's the good thing.
Right.
You know, that's back to, you know, hey, the tax collectors and publicans are going to make it to heaven before most Christians do. Because most Christians aren't Christians. You know?
Yeah. I'm just doing my job.
When I run across people who describe themselves as Wiccans or this, that, or the other, and you find out that they were born Catholic or Protestant or whatever, and it's like, well, you know, why aren't you? Or even they just react negatively to the name Christ, right? But you look at their activity and you see they're obeying Christ. And so you ask, well, what's your beef with Christians? Well, their beef with Christians are all the Christians that do all the things that Christ told the Christians not to do.
Yeah, that's what's becoming my beef with Christians.
You know, that's you know, that's their beef. That's why they just like Christians. Keep those bastards away from me.
Yeah, I'm almost ashamed to call myself a Christian. I'm ashamed of my fellow Christians.
If you ask Brother Thomas if he's a Christian, he'll say no. Even though he's a follower of Christ, he reads Scripture in detail and believes in the person that we call Jesus Christ. He goes out of his way to pronounce his name the way the Greeks did, or actually I think he does it the way the Hebrews would have pronounced it. He uses Jesus' proper Hebrew name when he refers to Jesus. Right? But you know, he follows that, but he will not call himself a Christian. He follows Christ, you know. He's somebody who actually is attempting to call on Christ's name properly, whereas the people who just say the word Christ or the word Jesus, you know, they treat it like a magic word. I believe in Jesus! Like, Jesus said there'd be lots of people who call me Lord, Lord, and I'll say, I never knew you.
Right.
You never did anything I asked you to do. What makes you think I want anything to do with you? You know? So one of our friends gets upset because I point out that he's not keeping the greenhouse warm enough. He's like, well, you know? You're commissioned to build a stove to keep the greenhouse warm enough, and then you make all these excuses. And it's like, I'm probably going to speak to him tomorrow. Bring his own text message up to him, say, you know, you said blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you flat out. You were told while the extension office person was here that tomatoes need to be above 60 degrees. So the temperature in there needs to stay at around 70.
On average.
Yeah, it needs to be between 60 and 70 degrees. It needs to be 70-ish on the high side, not 60-ish on the low side.
And actually, 60-ish turned out to be 55-ish.
Well, yeah, it was 55, you know. You know, and for you to make any excuse, you know, air, whatever, get your damn cot and put it next to that until you get the rocket stove working. Put your cot right next to that fireplace, and anytime it's cold enough that you need a blanket, throw some wood in there.
Right.
You be the thermostat. If you can't comfortably sleep in there, it's not warm enough. And no, you're not allowed a sheet, and you're not allowed a blanket.
I can't sleep without a blanket, no matter what temperature it is.
Yeah, I hear you. I like to at least have a sheet over me.
Yeah, at least a sheet.
And if he does that, I will put curtains up on the windows, because quite frankly, I suspect he might not sleep in his altogethers.
I guess I can sleep without a sheet or a blanket, but I don't know. I guess it's a comfort thing, you know. Gotta have your blankie.
Gotta have your security blanket. But yeah, but you get my point. You know? If it's not comfortable enough to sleep in there, it's not warm enough. It should feel like a nice, comfortable summer day in there all the time.
All the time.
And one of the things that Shirley pointed out to me is it needs to be over 80 degrees to even get tomatoes to germinate.
Right.
So when they're going to, in about 3 months, February, around the end of February, they're going to start sprouting tomatoes. And February is when it's its coldest. Around here, mid-January, all right? So they're going to start sprouting their tomatoes. It's got to be 80 to 90 degrees in there. And it's got to do that overnight. So
what?
So? Yeah. Probably tell them in person. Well, the so is, regardless of all the other things that you said in your text, it's got to be over 60 degrees in there. It needs to be around 70. If it's not at 70 degrees, you need to stoke up the fire. If it's approaching 80 degrees, you can relax. If it's getting down to 60, you've gotten behind on your work.
Oh, mother, son of a biscuit.
What happened?
I did not see that hole in the road.
Scared the shit out of you?
Yeah, I about drove my whole truck into the hole in the road.
Okay, so how are you going to handle this? We've been doing this for almost 2 hours.
Well, basically, you just have to hang up.
Right, and how are you going to get the podcast and move it around?
Oh, well, I can get the podcast the same way that I always do.
Okay,
I
so it's
can't
not...
call it anymore.
Right, you can't even call it in.
I can't call in. Not with T-Mobile, because T-Mobile is stupid. And actually, it's not just T-Mobile. All the cell phone companies are jumping on that bandwagon.
Really? Well, I'd be interested to see how Straight Talk handles it.
Yeah, they just haven't done it yet, obviously. But T-Mobile.
I don't know how they'd even handle it. I'm sure the whole industry would scream bloody murder if they did, because, well, they probably would start screaming bloody murder because, you know, then nobody can use their service anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
Something's going to have to change.
May I suggest you do some experiments with MetroPCS?
Well, yeah, basically I'm going to have to get a new phone service if I'm going to continue the podcast, or I'm going to have somebody else call in on three-way with me every single time.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you know, I'm thinking about trying one of those Net 10 phones, and I would like to try to get a MetroPCS phone. If they send you out to Northern California and you're in 707 area code, if you're ever in the 707 area code and you can find a MetroPCS store, well, I tell you what, I'll do some research and see what kind of phone's required, and I'll eventually buy one. You're not going to be doing this for very much longer. Never mind.
Well, not at this rate.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you're not going to be driving around. You're not going to be doing the...
Oh, trucking. Yeah.
Trucking anymore. Yeah. So... You know, they might have MetroPCS up in Kansas City since they have it down in Springfield now. So.
True.
And I forget where I was. I saw a MetroPCS store. I think it might have been in Bolivar. But actually, I think it was in Springfield. Yeah, it was in Springfield that I saw it, but they hadn't opened yet. But they wouldn't be opening up a store if they didn't have the service there.
True.
So I will, you know, next time I'm in Springfield, I'll stop in there. If the store is open, I will ask them flat out, what kind of phone do I need? And I'll see if I can acquire one cheap, still meet the job. And, you know, we'll start experimenting with it and see if where it works and how it works and if it's worthwhile, whatever. Because, you know, my experience with MetroPCS is, yeah, crappy customer service. But they'll flat out admit they have crappy customer service. They charge $10 less a month than Straight Talk does. And pretty much provide the same service. It'd be interesting to see if their data bandwidth on the downside... on the, you know, on the slow speed was faster than Straight Talks. You know, I'm going to start checking around. I'm just going to start asking, well, what's your minimum? You know, I'm going to start asking places. I'm going to start doing some research when I'm not busy doing other things. Right now, I got to start making bricks. Lots and lots of bricks. So... and I got to make some forms and pour some foundations underneath Bill's place, and I got to do it on days when it's going to be above freezing for a couple days in a row. It's going to be harder and harder to come up with. Sorry, I yawned. It's going to be harder and harder to come up with. So I'm not going to have time to do all that research. All right. Let's see, now, I gave you a major diatribe yesterday or the day before, and you said, you know what, we need to do that as a podcast. So next week, what's our subject going to be? Because I forgot what I gave you a diatribe on.
I have no idea.
I'd probably get it all right tonight. I'm an idiot.
Tank wash is open so I can start getting my trailer steamed.
There's one for you, people. Look up the etymology on the word idiot. Give you a hint. Idiosa. All right? Go find out what that word originally meant.
Oh, we need to call Ron Paul.
Ron Paul, Revolution. Can you do that from your end?
I think so. Let me try.
For Monday, December 5th. President-elect Donald Trump told a Cincinnati audience this week that he intends to make some big changes in U.S. foreign policy. During his thank you tour in the Midwest, Trump had this to say. We will pursue a new foreign policy that finally learns from the mistakes of the past. We will stop looking to topple regimes and overthrow governments. In our dealings with other countries, we will seek shared interests whenever possible. If this is really to be President Trump's foreign policy, it would be a welcome change from the destructive path pursued by the two previous administrations. Such a foreign policy would go a long way toward making us safer and more prosperous, as we would greatly reduce the possibility of a blowback attack from abroad, and we would save untold billions of dollars with a foreign policy of restraint. However, as we know with politicians, there is often a huge gap between pronouncements before entering office and actions once they're in office. Who can forget that President George W. Bush's foreign policy promised as a candidate 16 years ago? As a candidate, he said, I am not so sure the role of the United States government is to go around the world saying, this is the way it's got to be. If we're an arrogant nation, they will resent us. If we're a humble nation but strong, they will welcome us. Unfortunately, as soon as he took office, George W. Bush pursued a completely different foreign policy, attacking countries like Iraq at the urging of the neocons he placed in positions of power in his White House and State Department. Some people say that the personnel is policy and that much can be predicted about Trump's foreign policy by the people he has appointed to serve his administration. That is where we might have reason to be worried. Take Iran, for example. While Trump says he wants the U.S. to stop overthrowing governments on the issue of Iran, both the candidate and his recent appointees have taken a very different view. Trump's pick for National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, has said the following about Iran. I believe that Iran represents a clear and present danger to the region and eventually to the world. And regime change in Tehran is the best way to stop the Iranian nuclear weapons program. Trump's CIA choice, Mike Pompeo, has said of President Obama's Iran deal, the Iranian regime is intent on the destruction of our country. Why the president does not understand is unfathomable. And Trump's selection of Defense Secretary General James Mattis was even more aggressive, saying, the Iranian regime, in my mind, is the single most enduring threat to stability and peace in the Middle East. Iran is not an enemy of ISIS. They have a lot to gain from the turmoil in the region that ISIS creates. Donald Trump's words in Cincinnati don't seem to match up with the views of the people that he's assigning to high places, at least when it comes to Iran. While I hope we can take President Trump at his word when it comes to foreign policy, I also think we should hold him to his word, especially his encouraging words last week. Will the incoming president have the ability to rein in his more bellicose cabinet members and their underlings? We can be sure about one thing. If Trump allows the neocons to capture the State Department, keeping his foreign policy promises is going to be a lot more difficult. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Two more times.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
One more time.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Well, I pressed 1.
Yeah, I tried pressing it, and it don't work. I tried connecting it. Doesn't work. So, just got to listen to it 3 times, and then it'll go away.
Yay. So he's hoping that that Trump will do what he said he would do.
But he doubts it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
Because basically the people that Trump is putting into power that are surrounding him
don't conform to that viewpoint.
Right. They're all war and fear mongrels.
Well, of course, because those are the people he's told to put into place.
Right. By his puppet masters. So Trump is a puppet just like the rest of them.
Well, duh. He wouldn't have made it that far if he wasn't.
Of course. He was the lesser of two evils.
Yes, do you want to be poked by the 3-prong pitchfork or the 4-prong pitchfork?
Pretty much. We got the 3-prong.
You want us to use a sledgehammer on your left foot? Or 2 sledgehammers on your right?
And we picked the 1 sledgehammer.
I'll take the 1 sledgehammer because it's the lesser of 2 evils, and I'll be happy with it. Oh, my foot!
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, talking about insanity. All righty. Well, in about 2 minutes, we'll have been 2 hours.
All right. So to conclude the podcast, the rest of the original topic that we were supposed to be talking about, after the officer came back to the vehicle, and he was handing me back my papers, I told him, even though I don't agree with the increase in the size, the cost, extent, the reach, and the power of the government, and the increase in the rules, regulations, standards, wait, I don't remember what I said exactly, but I said, I don't agree with the rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines, and the increase in the size, the cost, extent, the reach, and the power of government. But I do comply.
Right.
I don't consent, but I do comply under duress.
Yeah, that's my policy, is to be as honest and factual and as possible and lawful in my actions. And, well, we're actually, Christ calls us to be forgiving as well. You know, so.
Yeah. And he thanked me for complying.
As Christians, you know, the Romans way back when were legally allowed to grab any person they saw and say, here, carry my stuff. And you had to carry it for a mile. All right, the general instruction given to Christians is, after you finish carrying it a mile, carry it another mile.
Why?
Good question. But that was the general instructions for Christians. Not from the Romans. That was from the Christians themselves.
Was that really Christ, or was that...
Well, it was being friends with the unrighteous mammon. And doing that would speak volumes to the soldier who just ordered you to do a thing. It's like, oh, I'm still tired and I have to let this guy go. And it's like all of a sudden this guy is still carrying it for you. You know, most people would do the mile and run home because, you know, whatever, you know. So somebody just gave away an hour's worth of their time to carry your stuff 2 miles instead of a half hour of their time.
But what if that soldier takes their kindness as a weakness?
That kind of soldier would have taken anything as a weakness.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter, you know. But... So we comply, we just don't necessarily consent.
But if you go the extra mile, you're consenting.
You're consenting to the extra mile.
Right.
And you're kind of putting an exclamation point on the first mile. And that soldier might start deciding that it might not be appropriate. Then again, he might look for more Christians, which might not be a bad thing. Because then he's going to be, you know, because, you know, in that mile, you're going to have more time to talk to him.
True.
You know, give me a half an hour to talk to somebody. They might say, no, that's fine. I'll take my stuff from here. I haven't even done the mile yet. That's okay.
True that.
I'll see you later.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. You have something to ask.
That police officer wanted to go, and we kept him for at least another 5 minutes.
That's true.
Talking to him about the difference between legal and lawful.
That's true. Yeah, and he wanted to go. Yeah, and he, so, it was like, well, yeah, you could say it that way, blah, blah, blah. And he was just giving pat statements, you know, to try to, you know, not whatever. Now, his bosses are probably going to tell him later, oh, yeah, those are patriots. They're dangerous. And he's going to have to reconcile in his mind, you know, these people didn't seem very dangerous at all. Well, the beard looked, you know, kind of whatever, but, you know, he looked like he'd be an easy target. But, you know... But the skinny guy behind the wheel, you know, he certainly didn't look dangerous. Anyway.
I'm probably more dangerous.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm better with a gun.
Yeah.
So maybe not a bow and arrow.
I don't know. I've been out of practice a long time. But
too,
yeah.
Yeah, next time I'm in town, we need to go get that other bow so that we can practice together.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, they probably have some bows there still. Maybe not, because it's like hunting season. Somebody desperate might have gone and bought those other ones.
Okay. Well, we'll go after hunting season.
Well, no, we go and look and see if they're still there. Because at $40 a piece, come on. It's going to need some stuff added to it. It'll probably need another $100 worth of hardware added to it to make it work properly. But, you know, as long as it's got the string and the pulleys and whatever. All right.
Yeah. All righty.
Okay,
well,
go ahead.
I got to get up at midnight. So unless these guys are working. They're supposed to come in at midnight, but it looks like maybe they came in early. I got to get my trailer steamed so I can go make my delivery at 7 a.m.
Cool. All right, I'm going to hit *91, and we're going to see what happens. But let's say goodbye.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye.
Yeah, that's it for the Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast for December 4th of the year 2016. It is 2016, isn't it?
So far, still, yes.
Yeah, okay.
A couple more weeks.
All right, so God willing and whatever, we'll be back on the 11th and hopefully be a little more organized. We need to get organized on our podcast. But, yeah, hope you guys enjoy what you're listening to. Please give us feedback. Chew us out on those issues that we're wrong about. All right. Bye-bye.
We got three more podcasts, and that's it.
Yeah, we'll do this. Bye.